Good evening. And welcome to our Advent service tonight. We are going to do something different, and I hope it's a blessing for you like it was for me as I prepared the messages for this week and then 2 weeks from now on the 15th, looking at a couple of words that we are familiar with but maybe don't fully understand. Tonight the word is Hosanna. And you say, Advent, Hosanna? Seems like that was Palm Sunday. Well, I'm going to tell you all about that tonight. So as we begin our Advent service, the preparation for Jesus' first coming was made significantly by a man we call John the Baptist. And so let's start out this evening by singing the words of On Jordan's Banks, the Baptist Cry. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Almighty God, as we come into your presence, we claim your promise. Where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there in the midst of us. Your presence is a blessing. Your work among us is an even greater blessing. As we share with one another the greatness of your love shown to us in Jesus, your Son, enable us to grow in our relationship with him and with each other. And as we partake of your word and of your visible word in the Holy Supper, may it strengthen our faith in Jesus to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Another message of Advent and Christmas is, comfort, comfort, ye my people. Let's sing. Our scripture reading for tonight is Psalm 118. And if you look down at the bottom of the page, if you have a bulletin, you'll see it on the screen. If you don't have a bulletin, there's some bold letters. Save us. That's the literal meaning of the word Hosanna. Psalm 118 is the source of the praise that the people in Jerusalem gave to Jesus as he entered on Palm Sunday, just before he was arrested and crucified for our sins. Let's read responsibly those words from Psalm 118. Would you rise as we do that? This was the way the Old Testament people read Psalms, antiphonally they called it, back and forth. So I'll read part and you read part with me. Let's begin with all of us. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Please be seated, and let's sing Savior of the Nations Come. I don't know if you noticed the words in Psalm 118. As I prepared the thoughts for this evening, I thought Psalm 118 is almost a contemporary song of our world. Don't put your hope in human beings. There's an awful lot of that going on today. Whatever you tell me, I will do, many people are now saying, thinking that somehow what the world can do for us will give us hope. Now, hope, when it's used in Scripture, and whenever I've preached on hope, I always have to say this, and you probably already know it. It's not like, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. That's how we often use the word hope. But when the Bible uses the word hope, it's a sure thing. Advent, I believe, is a season of hope. A hope that will not disappoint us. A hope that we may have to be waiting for. But it's a hope that doesn't come from what the world can offer us. The word tonight is Hosanna. Now, I highlighted for you in that psalm the word save us. That's what the word Hosanna literally means. When you translate it, it means save us. But there's more to it than just that. A lot of people would say, save me from my situation, from whatever my circumstance is. But this save me has an element of urgency in it. Save us now. We need it right now. It's not something we want to wait for. We need it now. And there's an element in Hosanna also that when we say save us, we're addressing that to someone who can save us and will not disappoint us. Now, you didn't know that was all in the word Hosanna. It's a pretty common word in many of our seasonal times within the Christian church. But I want you to think of that as we look at Scripture together tonight. I want you to think about save us, but the urgency of that request. And secondly, I want you to think about that when we call out save us, we're addressing it to someone who will not disappoint us. And I don't think I have to tell you, that's our God. Hosanna. It's a call for God to save us, and ultimately, it's a call to save us from sin. Now, you know, when I preach, I put you to work, so you got to get your Bibles out. I told Leslie not to put the scriptures up on the screen, so you had to get your Bibles out, okay? So the page numbers are up there for you. We've already referred to Psalm 118, verse 25. That constant cry, even in the Old Testament, by God's people, addressed to Him in whatever circumstance they found themselves, save us. We want to address it with confidence and with urgency. We want to address it to the God who is the God of hope. And we in our world today need to do that also. It's kind of interesting on Facebook. You know, I don't even know why I spend my time there, but I do sometimes. The different posts that people put in there. And some of them are really helpful. Don't look to vitamins and, you know, health food items. Don't look to human leaders for hope. There's only one source of hope. This was a post just the other day that I read. There's only one source of hope that has value and meaning, and that's our hope that comes from God. Advent is a season of coming. That's what the word Advent means. We prepare for Christmas 4 weeks before that December 25th birthday celebration. And Advent means we are preparing for coming. And we're going to talk about that first coming a little bit tonight. But we're going to talk about it much broader than that. Psalm 118 was an expression by God's people in the Old Testament already to him for them to save them. They knew he was their only source of hope. Now, if you read the history of the Jewish people in the Old Testament, they were in a lot of difficult circumstances most of the time. They were rarely, in fact, only during King David's reign, really, were they ever not under another nation's authority. They needed hope. And they knew that that hope came only from their God. Now, ultimately, when we say, save us, with the urgency and with the assurance that the one we're expressing it to can save us, we're really talking about something beyond the physical. We're talking about a spiritual saving, a saving from sin. There's an advertisement on television that I see every once in a while, and it's inviting people to consider Jesus to be saved. And the speaker says, you are looking for hope, and you're looking for hope in a contagious thing that's going around among us. We all know what that is. And it depends on what name you want to give it. But there's a worse disease that is among us. And that disease is sin. And there's only one vaccination for sin. And that's Jesus. Lord, save us from sin. Let me give you a little bit more history. Matthew 1, verse 21. This is after Joseph was pledged to be married to Mary. The angel came to Mary and said, you are going to be with child, and that child will be the Son of the Most High. Joseph, finding out his wife's pregnant, realizing he wasn't the one, thought about getting rid of her, thinking she had been unfaithful. In a dream one night, God spoke through his angel to Joseph, and he said in Matthew 1:21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. The Hebrew for Jesus is the same root as Hosanna. Why is he to be named Jesus? Look what the angel goes on to say. For he will save his people from their sins. Same root, Hosanna and Jesus, in the original language of the Old Testament. Jesus was given the name Savior. If you go also then to Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, what we will celebrate in just a couple of weeks. In verses 10 and 11 of Luke chapter 2, you have the angels on Bethlehem's plain speaking to the shepherds. And the angels said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, what? A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Jesus, given the name, he will save. Hosanna, God's people's call to him, save us. And now the angel connects it again and says, born in Bethlehem is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Our first celebration of coming in the Advent season is that coming of Jesus in Bethlehem. And after he was born and grew up, and a lot of stories in the Bible about much of that, he carried out a ministry. And during that ministry, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he, remember that? He climbed up in a sycamore tree because the Lord he wanted to see. I'm not going to sing it for you. That's better if I just say it, okay? But what did Jesus do? He said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house. I'm going to eat with you. I'm going to identify with you. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He knew that he wasn't deserving of the Savior coming to his house. But Jesus did. The one who was born in Bethlehem comes to your house and my house, to our hearts, if we let him in. And that story with Zacchaeus, if you look at Luke chapter 19, verse 10, you see how Jesus concludes that story with Zacchaeus. He says, for the Son of Man, and that's how he often referred to himself, for the Son of Man came what? To seek and to save the lost. I'm lost. You're lost without a Savior. He was given the name Jesus because he would save. His birth was announced as the one who would be Savior. He said at other places in his ministry, but notably here to Zacchaeus, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Hosanna. Lord, save me. It's urgent. I don't know how much longer I have in this world. None of us do. Save me. And we express that with urgency. And we express it to Jesus. Remember, Hosanna is an expression to someone we know can answer. You cry out to Jesus in the urgency of your need, and there's hope. Because he will save you. Hosanna has a second kind of meaning also. It can also mean to praise and give praise to God. In your outline there, Hosanna expresses joyful anticipation and praise for our coming King. Now in Matthew 21, verse 9, this is the scene on Palm Sunday when the people in Jerusalem are waving palm branches and crying out, Hosanna. If you look at Matthew 21, verse 9, you have the actual words that they were saying. The crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna! Save us! Urgent! We know you can. They were calling out to him who had been named Jesus because he would save. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. There's an element of praise in that as well as an expression of save us. Jesus is the one. A lot of people today would like to think there are lots of different ways to be saved from your sin. There are some who say you can do enough good to overcome the bad and therefore you can be saved from your sin. Wrong. There are those who say it doesn't matter what you call God or which religion you are a part of, they all have the same purpose. Wrong. There's only one way to be saved from sin. And that's Jesus. We prepare to celebrate his first coming. Tonight we are going to celebrate his coming in the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper. And next week we're going to look at his coming again. This is really going to test me. I'm not going to sing again, but go to Matthew 26, and then I'm going to grab something else and show you here. Matthew 26. This is Matthew's account of the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Now, think about, as we read this, that Passover was a celebration about being rescued. Remember the rescue of the Old Testament people? Blood on the doorposts of the sacrificial lamb? Passover is filled with rescue. What was Jesus doing with his disciples when he instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, celebrating the Passover? And he said, while we're here celebrating a wonderful rescue by God, back in the Old Testament, when Pharaoh was trying to kill the Jewish people, now I'm going to give you an even greater rescue celebration, the Lord's Supper. If you look at that in Matthew 26, just look at a couple of the verses, beginning with verse 17, and we'll read 17 to 19 and then go down to 26. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" Unleavened bread and Passover are the same thing. He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Then down in verse 26, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" I'm present. In a miraculous way, this is my body, holding a piece of bread. Then it goes on to say, "And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for'" what? "The forgiveness of sins." Jesus came in Bethlehem. He comes to us in the supper. And he's coming again. Now, for those of you that have a little Lutheran background, you remember this? The Reformers, back in Martin Luther's day, decided that Hosanna was such a key part of rescue, Passover, and the Lord's Supper that they kept it in the original celebration. I thought about singing this, and maybe some of you could join in, but I'm not going to sing it, okay? We call it the Sanctus. See if you remember these words, some of you old-timers out there, like me. "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Remember those words? The reformers felt that urgent cry to someone who could fulfill our request was worth keeping. Now, we can debate forever whether we should still keep it and all that. I'm not going to get into that. But I think it's significant to note how Hosanna fills much of the Bible's expression about God's love for us in Jesus, our Savior. So tonight, as we partake of his supper, think Hosanna. I have sinned yesterday, days before, today. Save me. And know that you are saying that to someone who truly can save you. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight, with that word in mind, I'm going to have you look at the questions that we use in preparation for the Lord's Supper. And I chose tonight, rather than do a formal confession of sin, as we many times do in our worship, I'm going to just walk through this with you. Think Hosanna. Save me. And if I can answer yes, if you can answer yes to these five questions, come, taste, and partake of the one who saves us. Am I a sinner? Don't like to admit it. Many times it means I have to say I'm sorry. But I am. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Am I sorry for my sins? We live in a world where people are even proud of their sin. But have I acknowledged my sin separates me from God, and I'm sorry for that? Do I believe that the one to whom I cry Hosanna, by his death and resurrection, can really save me from sin? Do I believe when Jesus says, for you English buffs, using an intransitive verb, this is my body, subject and predicate the same, this is my blood, subject and predicate the same. Do I believe Jesus' body and blood, in a way beyond my explanation, comes to me in the Lord's Supper? And finally, do I intend, with the help he can give me, save me? It's ongoing. Do I believe he can help me change my sinful ways? I'll never get to the point where I don't need him, Hosanna. But is it my intention, with his help, to minimize my sinful activity? God's word is the standard for that, not the world in which we live. If you can answer yes to those questions, God says, you're prepared to partake of his supper with blessing. And we invite you to come with Hosanna in your heart. Let me share with you the words of Jesus that he used on the night he gave us this meal. We read them already. But they are the words that give this meal its powerful blessing among us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in memory of me." The peace and the power of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Mary Dickinson, former member here at St. Mark's, passed away on Monday, and memorial services are going to be planned for a later date. We also want to pray for Alex Teuscher, who is in the hospital and on the way to recovery, Pastor Bob said, and Mary Borgschulte has now come home from the hospital. Perhaps you know of other individuals as we pray, but let's pray especially for those. Would you bow your heads with me? Almighty God, we thank and praise you that we can turn to you and say, "Save us. Hosanna. Praise you, the one who came, died, and rose again for us." We now call out to you, Hosanna, for those situations which we have named, people who have departed this life, and pray for their family and for those who mourn their passing. for those who are hurting physically, Mary and Alec, but others whom we know in our hearts. Save them. Accomplish for them what you desire, and may your will be done. We commend them to your care. We commend all for whom we pray to your loving care in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be and remain with you always. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn, O Come, Emmanuel.
Ransomed captive Israel.
Thank you for allowing me to worship with you tonight. Two things. Greet someone, maybe someone that you don't know, and I'll greet all of you out there by that door. God bless your evening.